Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, U.S. Rate Strategist for MUFG. It's Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. John, on last week you previewed the October employment report. This week, let's start things off by reviewing it. Just how good was this October employment report? The non-farm payroll gain was over 600,000, close to your forecast, a little bit higher than the consensus estimates for 580. The unemployment rate, as you correctly forecasted, dropped significantly, if I recall, down to 6.9%, which is a bit shy of your forecast. Take our listeners through it.
Okay, so again, it's for us, the key thing behind our core investment stance for this 2s 10s 2s 30s yield curve steepening, the key thing is that we continue to forecast a much more rapid healing of the economy over the next 12 to 24 months than the market's expecting. And all of the strong recovery process that we're seeing in labor markets, retail sales, and so on is what's comporting and pulling along that forecast. That's the engine in it. Beyond that, there's the things like the vaccines and so on, but the core engine is the surprisingly durable recovery and strength that we're seeing. So let's just take a look. So the employment numbers again came out. Payrolls came out 640,000. We were around 615. Consensus is a little lower, but I would even argue that the number was like better than what we were looking for. The private sector was very, very strong. The hours worked data was outstanding. So for us, we use a proxy to predict our retail sales number that comes out next week. We use a proxy for what we consider to be private sector income growth. And in that proxy, we take the number of payroll change by the hours work change, by the length of the work week, and by the wage improvement. And believe it or not, this is gaining between 0.8% to 1% month on month in October. That points to an unbelievably resilient control retail spending number next week. So something on the order of 0.7% month on month, 0.8%, we cannot rule out. Very, very good numbers that we're talking about, which means the fourth quarter started very good. And we'll talk about that in a second, but fourth quarter is off to a fast start after an outstanding third quarter, 33% and change. So that all looks very, very good. On the unemployment side, as you're mentioning, so we were looking for 120, 125 basis point decline in the unemployment rate. I knew it would not be achievable, but I knew we had it, called in the absolute right direction. It dropped 100 basis points. Consensus was only looking for it to drop 30 basis points. It went 100 basis points. And for us, so now we're sitting here at 6.8, 6.9% in the unemployment rate. I think we end the year in just 2 months, 6%, maybe 5.9 or 6%. But when the new Congress and the new president meet in January, February of next year, and they start discussing stimulus and so on, the unemployment rate at that time is probably going to be 5.7, 5.6%. I mean, that's just outstanding. So, and again, we have the unemployment rate ending next year at, on something on the order of about 3.8, 3.9%, almost back to pre-pandemic just by the end of next year. And GDP almost full recovery by, third quarter, end of the third quarter of next year. So we are really on a very good path. The problem, as everyone knows, the COVID, the community spread of COVID is now extremely broad-based. It's all through America. It's not that you can say it's one region of the country or a collection of states. No, it is everywhere. And it's much higher than most people were expecting. I'm just going to give you a couple of numbers. We just think that the cases on our moderate forecast for the next 2 to 3 months, with obviously all the big holidays coming up for the year, for the next 2 to 3 months, we're looking for a moderate level of, say, 121,000 new cases per day, which is really high. And our upper band to that forecast is 216,000, on an average daily basis. So that is just like shockingly high. Can we get through the first quarter without locking down, without having some local lockdowns? It's going to be really tough. But we do have the vaccines coming. They are coming along our timetable, which means, you know, deliveries at the end of March, April, May, June, people can get, start to get inoculated, and in the sort of general population inoculated by the end of the third quarter, early part of the fourth quarter, that kind of timetable. So we all fit on that. But, you know, the next 2 to 3 months just looks like the COVID is going to be a major issue. I think for the next 2 months with GDP and payrolls, et cetera, things look very good. But I worry a little bit about the first quarter, no question.
Thanks, John. Let's explore in a little bit more detail some of the things you brought up in your answer to that first question. So you mentioned you expect to see retail sale, October retail sales to print nicely, and that the fourth quarter looks good. You know, I think you recently put out a piece where you have your full year 2020 GDP forecast at -2%. You know, can you take us through that forecast a little bit and compare that to consensus and other official estimates?
So this is really important. So again, we have all of the income signals that we're seeing are very, very strong, and they've been really strong since May. Every single month, and we've been forecasting. We've had some, you know, pretty high forecasts on the retail sales numbers for the last 6 months or so, and we've gotten very close. In some cases, and sometimes the retail sales have been so good they even beat our numbers. So we're going to be looking for another really good retail sales number on Monday. We have GDP growing fourth quarter like 6.3%, and there's upside risk there, but 6.3, the consensus is at 4. So for the full year, we're at 2% down 2% on GDP, consensus down 3.3, and the Fed is down 3.7, the OECD is down 3.8% year, and the IMF is down like 4% and change. So it's just I think the views, the expectations of our competitors are going to move in our direction towards this down like 2% year on year. But it could be down just only 1.8, 1.9% year on year. So just don't be surprised if you see a one handle on that, and if that becomes more the popular forecast as we get closer to end of November or December, that kind of time period. So GDP looks really, really good, much better than the Fed was thinking about. But again, we are definitely not out of the woods in terms of the COVID risk, I would say, to first quarter. And then it's a transitory risk. Then we would start be getting all the inoculations. And for us, that means GDP really over the basically second half of next year, second quarter, second half, just very, very strong, especially if we get some stimulus from Congress. But that's our core outlook. We just look for really remarkable strength. And again, almost to pre-pandemic at the unemployment rate at the end of next year, fully recovered on GDP by the end of next year. So where does that leave the Fed? I mean, how does the Fed continue with its $120 billion per month purchases of mortgages and treasury? How do they maintain that when you're fully recovered on GDP and on the unemployment rate? How do you do that? And how do you keep convincing people that you're not going to raise the interest rates at some point? So it's going to be very tricky, we think, for the Fed. And we think the market is moving in that direction. They're steepening the curve, but the market is definitely nowhere near our viewpoint on the shape of the curve just yet and the steepness that we're expecting.
Well, that all sounds great. Obviously, the big wild card to the downside is COVID. You mentioned it previously. Let's talk about that a little bit in more detail. I think we're at like 130,000 new cases a day. You know, Osterholm said we could see 200,000 in short order. That's unnervingly high. You know, we have this vaccine that looks promising, but there's a lot of road between a promising vaccine and getting it in people's arms. You know, how should investors do this? Like, should they bet on the vaccine, ignoring, you know, some of these downside risks to the outlook and embrace that 230s yield curve steepener that you have on? Take us through that a little bit.
So, you know, again, we talk to our clients a lot, and we know that they've had a lot of hesitance to embrace the steepener call because it just seems like it is ignoring too many risks and so on. But I think we've pretty accurately assessed. Osterholm is Professor Osterholm of the University of Minnesota is he's been very insightful for the last 10 months on the community spread of COVID. I think he's been spot on. And for next year, he's probably going to be very close as well. So we don't have our eyes closed to any of these risks. You know, we think the minimum of the range we see is around 125,000 cases per day in the next 2 or 3 months. And the upper part of the range is around 216. So it's pretty consistent with Mr. Osterholm's forecast. So I think what investors have to do is say, all right, look, there's a chance we may stumble in the first quarter. You know, how much is the yield curve going to reflatten when we stumble in the first quarter? How much will we reflatten, you know, barring a complete national lockdown? How much will we reflatten then? And with vaccines basically coming out not too soon after the first quarter is over. So it could be towards the end of March, early April, when, you know, the vaccines begin to get distributed. So and people already, you can see in the retail spending numbers, people already have COVID fatigue. They're trying to get back to their normal lifestyles. They want to spend. They're going to the malls. The foot traffic indicators, they're all picking up. The spending is really picking up. Businesses are more confident now because the spending is there. So you see the CapEx side even better. So it's really kind of feeding on itself. The home sales are really quite good. Housing activity is excellent. So we're moving in the right direction. COVID worries all of us, but I would just try to tell people, you know, we've come a long way. Yes, the numbers are going to be high. We are sooner and nearer in terms of treatments and vaccines. So I would, you know, really, I would recommend people to put on the steepener, and if they've kind of missed this recent steepening action we've seen over the last couple of months, if they've missed it, you know, what are they going to do? Bet that, okay, we get a pullback, we reflatten, and then they can get a great opportunity to get in at an extra, you know, an excellent entry level. Everybody in the world would like that. So when that happens, when everyone would also want that, usually the market doesn't give it to you. So although the curve looks fairly steep now, you know, 155-ish, 160 basis points, I know it looks pretty steep, but in our models, in 18 months, it could, you know, be over 200 basis points, like 210 basis points in terms of steepening. So, you know, again, this was one of those trades that you really had to be in, knowing that the timing was going to be a little bit imperfect. And, you know, but the core view of the economy really backstopping that steepener, I think, is there. And it's really going to be tricky in our minds for the Fed in the second half of next year, you know, once the vaccines are coming out and so on. It's going to be really tricky for them, you know, barring a really bad, you know, COVID community spread, barring that, it's going to be really tricky for the Fed to maintain this super uber accommodative stance with credibility. I mean, we're just going to be so rapidly recovered. This is not, in my mind, this is not like a 2010, 11, 12, 13 kind of 4-year episode. This is more like 12 months to 18 months, this economy is really going. So we'll have to see. I wish everyone a lot of luck, but you know, near term, just for the fourth quarter, it looks like another really good quarter where we're gonna beat the consensus estimates on payrolls, on unemployment, on retail sales, on GDP, on business spending. We have another quarter like that. And, you know, that gives us a good tailwind as we head into next year. And I'm just hoping we can avoid a national lockdown. But I'm very mindful of Professor Osterholm's, you know, predictions for next year. And they are fairly dire.
Hey, well, sort of a sour note to end on, but yep. Definitely important. You've given us a ton to think about, as always. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you, John. It's great to be with everyone.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.